I didn't read the whole article this morning, but apparently a magazine or newspaper, I didn't recognize it, up in New York, has made the statement that, because people are talking about banning books that scare children, they said the Bible should be banned. And it misrepresented Jesus and his stand and, who he is, but recommended the Bible be banned. And that's nothing new, but it is sad, a sad statement of our times that there are people who still think that way. Because if you do away with the influence of God, then you do away with basically the whole basis for morality. And you end up with either anarchy or just control by the few at the top politically, and everybody else suffers under them. It's going to go one way or the other if people continue to throw God out with the bathwater. It's just a shame that our world has chosen Satan as their master. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, because that's a danger that all of us as Christians can face. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." In life, we always have two choices. It's always been that, ever since Adam and Eve. It's just two choices, two basic choices in life. Are we going to serve God, or are we going to serve ourselves? That's what it comes down to in everything in life. Am I doing what God wants me to do, or am I doing what I want to do regardless of what God says? And those have been the two choices right along. And all the other choices that we make as human beings depend upon that initial choice, to serve God or to serve oneself selfishly, to chase after personal gain, the things that I want. That's what's most important. When Jesus was talking to the people, they all knew what slavery was. They all knew, that people had been conquered and made slaves. Sometimes people got way in debt and became slaves for a time to pay off the debt. And sometimes people, even because, they really cared about the family they served, they just wanted to be permanent servants of the family. And, so people were familiar with that. They also had the concept of slavery according to the Romans, because the Jewish people felt like they were slaves to the Romans. And so when Jesus said you can only serve two masters, he wasn't talking about, speaking against slavery per se. Because, many servants, and many Christians, people who became Christians, were servants, were slaves. But they were able still to become Christians. And one of the things that Jesus was trying to get across here is that no matter what directs your life in many ways, work, whatever the job requires, if you're a slave to somebody, you have to serve that person. But what matters is who is first and foremost in directing how you think and how you live, how you make your decisions and how you behave. For those who would have an earthly master, their job would be to do whatever they're told. Don't think, just do. Do what you're told. But then if you're a Christian, how does that make a difference? Even in the workplace, we're told to do what we're supposed to do. And and as people in the top change, so do the rules and regulations. Always telling us how to do things and do things differently. Someone always seems to have a better idea. And you kind of got to go along with what they say. But do you go totally along with what they say? Are they the masters of your life, telling you how to think and how to behave? In our world, we see the powers of Satan trying to tell us this all the time. Here's how you think. Here's what you should accept. Here's what you should reject. The world is always telling us, listen to us. Even though what they say is often imperfect, sometimes totally false, still there's that call to listen and get in line. And people will get in line usually for selfish reasons. I'll get in line if there's something in it for me. I'll get in line if I can get ahead somehow. Or, you know, for people who were slaves, I'll get in line so that I don't get punished. I'll get in line and I'll endure. But they do so for their own purposes. What Jesus was talking about was elevating each and every person's sight, each and every person's motivation for living, whatever our circumstances, whether we were free or slave, whether we were our own boss or whether we were working for others, whether we agree with what's going on or whether we don't agree, Jesus said we still have a choice in how we approach life. And it's either we choose to get in line with God, our Creator, and our Savior, or we get in line with the influences of Satan. That's what it comes down to, those two choices. And then those two choices present two totally different realities. Jesus said here that one choice is hate and despising whoever we are supposed to serve. To hate or despise. Those are pretty harsh words. And the problem is, we human beings can sit back and say, well, I don't really hate anybody, and I really don't despise anybody. There are a lot of things I don't like. There's people I don't like, but I don't really hate or despise anything. But the problem with that is, it's not true. It's not true. We have taken the words hate and even the word despise and made them mean more than what God makes them mean, simply because we compartmentalize them. You know, hate is something terrible, and it is, but that's over there. I don't do that. To despise something, oh, I don't do that. But the reality is we do, whether we want to recognize it or not. The other reality is one of love and devotion. To love either God or the world. To really want what's best. And that's the Greek word here, wanting what's best. Wanting what's best for the Lord. What the Lord wants best for me and for those around me. That's what the love involves. And if we love like the way the world wants us to love, means I got to love myself, because nobody else will. And I'll give love to you if there's something in it for me. And devotion. Oh, many people are devoted to themselves. They'll sacrifice anything for their own benefit. They'll sacrifice anyone for their own benefit. They'll sacrifice their job. They'll lie. They'll cheat just to get what they want. The problem is that if we hate and despise God, we will automatically, and here's the point, we will automatically love and be devoted to ourselves. If we have a hatred toward God, and we look at our world and we see that hatred, we see people wanting to reject God entirely. And why? Because it's out of selfishness. Wanting what individual people want, or what groups of people want, or what they think they want. We don't need God. The teachings of God, oh, they just work against us. And what do? They chase after their own desires. And that's why we see the world in such a mess. Sin messes everything up. Sin messes up every person's life. Selfishness is a terrible, terrible sin. But if we love God and are devoted to God, we're going to hate and despise our selfishness, our selfish desire for gain. You see, it's got to be one or the other. We're going to love or we're going to hate. But if we love God, we're going to want what's best as God reveals His will to us. We're going to want to behave in ways that are pleasing to Him. We're going to live in ways that we know is the way He created us to live for our greatest benefit. And we're going to treat others with that same desire of wanting what's best for others. And boy, when there's that kind of love, isn't this a better world? Isn't our own lives better when we focus upon love? I remember even back in the late 60s, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And it's not the emotional love, it's not the sexual love, it's that desire for what's best for one another. And that can only come from God. And being devoted to God is part of that love. Being devoted, committed, desiring to be right with God all the time, in every aspect of our life. When we are so devoted to God, our Creator, our Savior, the one who loves us, the one who's preparing a place for us, then we cannot help but hate and despise any selfishness that we find in ourselves. And when we have that selfishness, and we all do, that's when we go to God and seek His forgiveness. Because we know that our selfishness is sin. And it doesn't make us happy. And fills us with regret. And so we need God's forgiveness. But you see, if we love the world, and we're devoted to the world, we are automatically hating God. Because we're saying, God, you don't know what you're talking about. God, you have nothing meaningful for my life. And many people will say, oh, I love God. But it's just a word. Because they don't show it. They don't express it. They don't live it. They're not devoted to God. And how many times have you heard people say that? Well, God knows I love Him. Yeah, God knows, all right. He knows that you don't love Him. You're too busy loving yourself. And that's the point. Even Jesus said that people are living as enemies to God because they're living selfishly. God created us for fellowship with Him. And when we live out of that fellowship, when we say, I don't need God's ways, I'm going to live how I want, I'm going to live like the world tells me to live, I'm going to get ahead like the world tells me to get ahead, I'm living in hatred toward God. In my mind, I might say, oh, I don't hate God. But in my behavior, in my attitudes, and all that I'm doing, I'm living in hate toward God. Because that's the way God looks at it. See, this is God telling us how He looks at it. If we refuse to listen to God, then we are despising His word. We're despising His way because we love ourselves and this world too much. But if we hate this world, if we hate the sin in it, but not just this world, but we hate it in ourselves. When we look at our own sinfulness and we see the things that are wrong there and the things that make us miserable, if we despise that and hate that in ourselves, the opposite then is we turn to God and we love God because of His grace. We love God for His forgiveness. We're devoted to Him and want to grow in relationship with Him because we don't want to be like the world. We don't want to be our sinful selves, but we want to be what God wants us to be because it's what He desires for us. The one who loves us even more than we love ourselves. And there's two ultimate results of all of this. Selfish gain, living for the things just of this world and ignoring God, leads to eternal death. The book of Revelation calls it the second death. Because the first death is when we, and some scholars differ, some think the first death is when Adam and Eve sinned, were kicked out of the garden, you know, and death entered the world. But for you and I, really the first death is when we die here and are buried. The second death is when we are cast away from God forever. Because come judgment day, everybody resurrects. The dead, all the dead, righteous and unrighteous, resurrect to face judgment. The righteous will be ushered into eternity. The unrighteous, those who aren't right with God, cast away forever. So selfish gain, things for this world, and they're only here. Nothing lasts. Just leads to eternal death. But those who love God and are devoted to Him, you know, God leads to eternal life. Life that's going to be beautiful and perfect, without disease, without sin, without temptation, without evil. There will be nothing to cause us to to fall away from God, because the world will be perfect, the new world, the new earth, because God's going to make it so. There will be no need for choice after that, except the choice between good and good. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when God created it and put Adam and Eve there, they had everything except one tree. It was just all about them being able to make a choice to honor God and follow Him or not. And Adam and Eve chose not. Because you see, it wasn't just in taking that fruit from that tree. When they realized evil for the first time, when they realized their sin, what did they do? They tried to cover up. You see, they weren't concerned about God so much, they were concerned about themselves. And when God came into the garden, they hid. Why? Because they didn't care about the Father, they cared about themselves. When God finally called them on the carpet, did they repent? Did they say, "Oh Lord, we're so sorry, we chose wrong"? No. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Oh, and Adam also blamed God. It was his fault. He's the one who created Eve. You see, it was selfishness. And mankind has been selfish ever since. But we are free now in Jesus to choose to live for Him and to deal daily with our struggle with sin, so that we never take it for granted, we never take it lightly, but we endeavor to keep growing in relationship with Him. That is the good fight that the Apostle Paul fought. He considered himself chief among sinners, and he was always, as he said, buffeting his body, doing his best to follow Christ. But he trusted the grace of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, looking forward to eternity. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Paul was writing to slaves here. And he said, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free." See, the emphasis there twice was on serving the Lord. Everything we do needs to be in keeping with the will of God. So even if we find ourselves a slave, even now, a slave to our work, the things that are mandated to us, we serve wholeheartedly as to the Lord. But as to the Lord is the priority. We do not do the evil the world wants us to do. We have a higher standard in Jesus Christ. Many people will compromise that high standard and just go along with the flow. But we're not called to go along with the flow. We're called to serve, and to serve as if we're serving Christ in the workplace or whatever. But we do not go against the will of God as we serve. In Colossians 3, 22 through 25, again, Paul's writing to slaves. He says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism." As we approach our work, as we approach this world, while everyone else approaches work from a selfish perspective, we do so as serving the Lord, doing the best we can in all that we do for the Lord. And that means, as he says here, you know, we're not going to do what's wrong. We're not going to do the things that the world tells us that are not right. We're going to stick with what's right. But we're going to serve in the right with our whole heart, primarily for the Lord. And the whole point of that is in hopes that we will win people to Christ when they see that righteousness works. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning in verse 34, Jesus is speaking here. And says, He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples and said, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Me and for the Gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His Father's glory with the holy angels." Deny self. That doesn't mean do without, but it means deny our sinful desires. And even when we give in to them, to seek the Lord's forgiveness, take it seriously, seek His forgiveness and endeavor not to follow again with the help of the Spirit. That's why it means take up your cross. Take up your cross. Take up our responsibility to the Lord. Jesus took up His cross. That's what He came for, was to die for you and I on that cross, bearing our sins. Taking up our cross is living for Jesus. Everything we do, living in compliance to His will, to His word, that the Spirit may work through us to be an example to those around us, to bring people to Him. Because if all we're living for is to get ahead here and we're not preparing for eternity with God, then all we're going to have is what's here. And we're going to lose what God's preparing for us in eternity. What good is it, as He says, for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? And yet, what do we hear the world say? Man, you got to gain the world. It's dog eat dog. Get out there and get what's coming to you. What does the government say? Oh, don't worry about God. We'll take care of you. And hasn't history shown every time any government says, "Don't worry, we'll take care of you," it has led to disaster. It has led to disaster. Who do we put our trust in? Our Heavenly Father. Whose ways do we follow? Jesus Christ. What motivation do we listen to through the Word? The Holy Spirit. Where is our hope? It's not here in the bank account. It's not in our retirement. It's not Social Security. Our hope is in eternity with Jesus Christ. You cannot serve two masters. You'll love the one or hate the other. You know, there's no in between. And so we need to decide to love Jesus, to be devoted to Him in our life. And then we will have our security, our total security in Jesus Christ. We will never be 100% devoted, you know, because we're imperfect people. But God has said, through your love for Me, through your repentance, I'm ready to forgive always. But the problem is, we get so used to sin that we don't think we need to repent. But if you read the book of 1 John, you find we need to repent. You know, we need daily to seek our Lord's forgiveness. We need to walk in that relationship, in that grace. Because if we start taking our sinfulness for granted and think it's okay, that's when we've begun to love the world and to hate God. Because God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, and believe is not a head knowledge, believing is that trust, that commitment, that reliance upon God, that God keeps His word and I need to follow. It's that believing that I need to trust and obey. It's that trust that I need to serve God. He saved me from serving Satan to now serving Him. That's what it's about. And the longer I serve Him, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And that's our song we're going to sing right now. the longer I serve him. It's number 518 in the hymn book. But as we think of it, the first line says, since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Can we sing that with real meaning? And we're not talking perfection here, but we're talking about a relationship with God. Is your relationship with God real? Is it personal? Or is it just a religious thing? See, we're not called to be religious. We're called to be servants of Jesus Christ. And more than servants, more than slaves, we're friends, we're family. And we are called to live like it. Every day, every moment of every day, in everything that we think, say, or do. If we're not living it, now's the time to make that commitment. Just right where you are, seek God's forgiveness and help and make that commitment to start following more closely and to love the Lord more dearly. And if any have never made that commitment, then you need to do so. Either now, come forward. The baptistry is always ready, although it's kind of cold. Or if you have questions, let's sit down and talk about it. Let's see, because what matters is what God says. Not just me, it's what God says, what His Word says. And you want to make sure that you're right with God. Let's stand together, shall we, as we sing.